thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
On the stream,
it's John Williams.
We think, we still think big thoughts. Yep, it's Big Thoughts in the Skyline Studios, downtown Chicago. Hi, it's John. White Sox baseball on WGN Radio. Thanks for finding us at WGNRadio.com via the app. However it is that you're listening to us via the stream. Here we go all the way until 3 o'clock, and I'm just looking at my producer, Elif, because I wanted to start the conversation today about something that a friend of ours, whose voice you hear on the station frequently, Steve Alexander, recently pointed out to me. And I know about it, this phenomenon, too. Maybe you do as well, but it doesn't mean we have to like it, and maybe something should be done about it. Elif is pointing at something. What are you pointing at? The far right pot. If I hit this button, will Steve be there?
I'm here.
Hey, Steve Alexander. It's John.
Hi, John.
How are you?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm super totally groovy.
Thanks for this opportunity to rant and also provide a public service at the same time.
Can I read your text to me?
Oh, maybe. Proof it.
John, have you talked about mandatory fees? Hotels are tacking on to daily rates that some don't tell you about until you check in. It's happened twice in Chicago. The first time I booked directly with the hotel rate of $114. It was a great rate for the near north side. I checked in and noticed the bill included an urban fee. Boy, there's a...
An urban fee?
What a load urban of crap fee. That is. What a load of crap that is. The urban fee of about $23 a day. I asked what it was for. Emphasis on day by me, not you, but there it is, $23 per day. I asked what it was for. It covered the two free bottles of water, which kind of doesn't make them free, which probably would have cost them 50 cents in bulk, probably. The Wi-Fi, the business center, and the gym. I didn't use either of those, by the way. The second time was through Hotwire.com, a rate of $89 in the Gold Coast. Great
deal.
Great. Well, I'll get back to that point in a minute, but the bottom line is going to be maybe that should have been a red flag to you. But that's beside the point. If
it's
what
not
we're
my
saying,
fault, John.
There was a resort fee of $25 a day. Same reason. Water, gym, Wi-Fi, business center. It's a dishonest way of listing rates lower than they actually are. I think you got a point there.
Thank you. And I'm mad about it. Because it should be disclosed at the time that you look up the rate or when you book the room.
These are through third-party sources, though, right?
Well, the first one was directly with a hotel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really? And so when you, well, it was online and it's...
No, I talked to them.
Really?
I called and talked, you know, the old-fashioned way.
I didn't even know they had phones anymore. So you called this hotel in Chicago on the Gold, mm-hmm. On the north side?
Right.
Up by Wrigley, something like that?
No. Just by Division and Clark in that area.
Yeah, okay.
So I made a reservation and said, how much is it? No, we got a great deal, $114, which is a great deal because there are times that that same hotel would be in the 300s.
That's what I'm thinking. But this is true, though. I mean, if you get lucky and if you book it at the right time, the rates drop. We all know that. That's never happened to me, but I understand the phenomenon. I mean, the point is, if it was the $300 a night rate, they still would have hidden the $25 fee.
Right.
So... my suggestion that because it's a low rate, you should be wary is kind of beside the point.
Yeah, I know. But again, it's not my fault.
Well, no, I'm saying that that's even beside the point because there would not have been even that red flag for you if it was the $300 a night. And it's beside the point even if it was $2. The point is they shouldn't hide fees.
Right. I agree. What are we going to do about it?
Well, here's the problem. I think if we fix it, it's not going to... change the rate. You're still going to get that hotel room, and it's still going to cost you $25 more.
Right. But I'd like to know going in if that's what it is, not be surprised to find out that there's that extra, the resort fee or the urban fee.
Why do they call it an urban fee?
I don't know. That's just their
I know,
way
but
of doing it.
Really? What is that? I mean, I guess you're in an urban area, and so therefore, maybe you're hip. I don't know.
Steve, when John was telling me about this, I thought this was going to be about taxes and things like that, but this sounds like just hotel hidden costs.
Oh, yeah, exactly. That's, yeah, Taxes well, because are all separate.
Now that you mention it, I mean, so when you were charged, say, for the first one, $114,
yeah.
and then you had 23, so you're at $137.
Mm-hmm. Still a great rate.
But I wonder what the taxes and other legitimate fees
would took me up to about $150 all told.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah.
Per day?
Right.
So your $114 was really $150 a day?
Yeah, with the tax and everything. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. My number is 312-981-7200 if you can relate, because I thought we should go to the city. I don't know who we go to about this. I didn't know what my next call was.
Well, there should be a consumer protection division either in the city or the state, maybe the county. I don't know.
That would say what?
I would say this is an unfair practice and knock it off.
So if you're listing on Priceline or Hotels.com or whatever, you have to give your full base fee.
Yes.
Your charge.
But
yes.
he was
totally legislative stuff to do.
But he was doing this directly with the hotel in one instance. One time it was Hotwire, third party. Right. Another time it was directly with the hotel. That's the one that really kind of agitates me, right? Because you say, what does the room cost?
Mm-hmm.
They say, we got a special, you're in luck, it's $89. You say, hooray. When you check in, it's $114. That's crap. That's crap.
I agree.
Wi-Fi, business center. And you know what they should do is give you an opportunity to opt out. How about that?
Well, they used to charge you extra for the Wi-Fi.
Right.
And now,
so now they advertise free Wi-Fi and charge you.
I know. Well, but that to me is, you get that a lot when they say, oh, and the room's great because you've got the free bottle of water and free Wi-Fi. And I thought, well, I got the free Wi-Fi at Starbucks. I don't know that that's such a perk anymore. That should be like electricity. Yes, we have Wi-Fi. And the cost of them for Wi-Fi for a hotel, once they get the hardware, is negligible, right? There's no real cost. I don't think there's a real cost to them. That's not even a cost.
Just the electricity to run the router.
Yeah.
Or routers.
Right. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah, maybe it's a bunch of routers. I don't know how they do that, but that's kind of crazy. The gym, yeah, maybe they...
They have to pay for the service, though, the ISP. I mean, the...
The internet connection.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's only one of those spread across how many hundreds of people.
Yeah.
I think that's the way that works. You didn't use the gym. So maybe we should charge you extra if you use the gym. Like if your card scans the door to open up the gym, then you get a $5 charge.
Wait, so you look like that, Steve, and you don't use the gym?
Well, or we could go the other way and just, okay, I did not use the gym, so I get this much back. I did not use the two bottles of water, so I get this much back. I didn't use the Wi-Fi, I get this much back.
The business center. You get that much money back. Man, you know, they're going the wrong way as far as they're concerned.
Yeah.
I don't know. Either way, I guess. Either charge the $124 and subtract or charge the $89 and then say, if you drink the water, you get a fee. If you use the gym, when that door opens up, because your card scanned it. Now, I know the problem with that is you and I are going to go to the gym. We'll use your card to open it, and then 18 people will run it.
Oh, you're so devious.
And that's how they'll get around it. But here again, I just don't think that's a loss for these places. I know they're looking for money, not to break even, but once they've bought the treadmills, my using it or not using it doesn't cost them any extra money. Wi-Fi business center. I'm trying to think. There was another charge that I ran into, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but I thought that is, it was like just a down. There's the parking, too. Now that I think about it, Steve, you don't have parking on there, do you?
No, I didn't have a car.
No. And they didn't charge you for that. What's the other fee? The thing that rankles, I think, people the most, too, is when you buy concert tickets online. Like if you go to, what's the big ticket broker?
Ticketmaster.
And they charge you a service fee. And I thought, wait, I did all the work here, right? I mean, I'm the one that went online. I'm the one that's using my toner to print it out. Why do I have to pay you a service fee on top of the cost of the concert tickets?
Mm-hmm.
I suppose they need to make money, but somehow that should be baked into the price of the concert and not... That's the funny thing, Steve, right?
Mm-hmm.
If they went ahead and just said, okay, your $89 room is $124, and it legitimately covers these things, you and I aren't having this conversation. You're not complaining, are you?
No. Oh, well, no, wait a minute. Ask me that again?
It's an $89 room.
right,
with $25 of charges you don't like. If they made that $89 room, I'm adding $25 to that, $104, and included those things, right? So it's mm-hmm. now it's not an $89, it's $104 room.
No, I don't object to the charges. I just object to them being hidden.
The transparency is the issue.
Yeah,
it's just been handled.
Yeah, I'm thinking that also maybe all of those days throughout the year that they do charge $300 or $400 a night for these rooms that they then, you know, can put on special for $100 or so. But yeah, let's just take that urban fee out of that and call it a day and not charge these poor people.
Elliot, Christopher Elliott posted a piece on Elliott.org. It's a blog spot, but he was writing about the most ridiculous travel fees earlier this year. He says, no, it wasn't the mandatory $35 a day resort fee that covers local and domestic calls. Maybe that's what it was. It was the phone charge, even if you don't use the phone. A 24-hour fitness center and coffee and tea. And it wasn't the $259 per night room rate, which was below average for Manhattan. It was the resort fee, which the Gregory Hotel calls a tailored fee to fit the garment theme, including a donation to charity to save the garment center. They built into the cost of the hotel a charitable donation.
A mandatory charitable donation.
That you've quote-unquote donated now. Room service charge. Consider Carnival Cruise Line's recent decision to begin charging between $2 and $5 for room service items, except for breakfast. A sandwich, a side, and a dessert used to be included in the cost of your cruise, but under the new plan, room service would cost upwards of $10 before gratuities. I don't know if that's for the service of them cleaning the room or them delivering it, but maybe that's fair. I'm not sure.
That's another hotel question. Do you tip the housekeepers?
Every single night.
Do you?
Every single day. And you can't do it the last day because different people clean your room each day. So if you said, all right, I'll just leave $10 at the end of my three-day stay, that lady gets it, but the other two, maybe they don't.
Hmm.
Do you?
Good man, Sean.
Do you?
No.
Well, that's Brenda. This is Brenda. Brenda's always looking out for tips.
Mm-hmm.
Brenda, and by that I mean she's always giving our money to people. There isn't an opportunity to tip that we miss. We sell, even in Europe, where you're
even
not
Europe,
supposed to,
yeah.
We over-tip. Do you tip your cab drivers? I just had an $18 cab ride. I gave him $20.
Usually I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
John, there's an extra liability to Wi-Fi in that the hotel might get sued if it gets hacked, allowing malware to get on customers' devices, says Deanna. Deanna, I think that's you working for the hotels. King John, I thought there was a recent requirement for airlines to disclose the true price of the ticket up front. Why wouldn't the hotel industry be doing the same? Yeah, I don't get hit any. We bought airplane tickets recently. We don't get whammed at the end with, you know, water and hot coffee and airline.
No, but there are a lot of fees and taxes and
built in.
But they're not necessarily. They weren't advertising those when they were advertising their fares. I think that's the issue. So now when they advertise their fares, they have to talk about the taxes and fees as well.
But they have to put that on the price, right?
That's what I'm saying. And before, they weren't. They were just doing the fare without that.
Yeah.
So it made it look more attractive.
Yeah, right. And in fact, you couldn't get around them. You couldn't opt out of the things that... That's the thing, if especially in the hotel's case, they should just allow you to subtract. If you say, I'm not going to use the gym, I'm not going to use the Wi-Fi, they're going to lose a lot of money, but I think that, or else they have to advertise it up front. John, I agree. I had a low deal through on some service online. It said pet friendly, so I booked. There was no mention of the extra fees for the pet. I had my That's not very friendly now, is it? I had my two sons with me. When we got there, I asked for two beds. Miraculously, they had none available. Now, they could give me a cot, but that was going to be extra. Then there was the pet fee. That was $42.
Whoa.
I said the dog can stay in the car. It was 10 o'clock at night when we arrived. They checked us in. We went to the room. The door was locked. Then they proceeded to kick us out. Then they said, we need a larger room for three people. My sons were sleeping on the floor. They said that we couldn't leave the dog in the car. It was 52 degrees out. I wanted a refund. They refused the refund. Then they called the police. They escorted me out. I agree. There should be transparency. Fees added after you book when you arrive. My 60 room went to over 100 in Green Bay, Wisconsin, nonetheless. Felt like discrimination.
Wow.
There's a lot going on there. I won't unpack all that, but thank you for the
friendly
text.
Well, now we know what that means.
Yeah.
For what it doesn't mean.
Well, good to talk to you, Steve. So I'll have Steve Bertrand get on this, and he'll he'll work on this in the newsroom, I guess.
Good.
We missed you on the biz lunch today, Steve.
Oh, I had some really dynamite stuff for you, too.
What were you going to say? There was no business lunch because of the White Sox game.
Yeah,
it's too late for that?
Yeah, too late now.
All right. Well, you guys save it for another day, and I'll continue with this topic.
Thank you, Johnny.
Good to hear your voice. Steve Alexander, who you frequently hear on WGN Radio. Here at WGNRadio.com. We're on the stream today. The White Sox are on the radio side. It's 120. I noticed that last text that we read was from Wisconsin. My guess is that on days like this, where we are not currently on WGN Radio, but just on the stream, the percentage of listeners out of state or out of the city is much, much higher, right? Because we're broadcast in the city, but people that are listening to the radio station around town are hearing the White Sox game. Now, they can also go online. But that's the only way people from outside the immediate broadcast area listen to us. So the percentage of out-of-town listeners is very high right now relative to, say, a day when we're on the air. So I'm wondering if you would do me this favor and just text to 312-981-7200 and tell us where you are listening to us. Where are you? You know, I know that you can hear us all around the world, but I'll bet we have a higher percentage of non-Chicagoans listening right now because a lot of Chicagoans are listening to the game on the radio. And unless you've got the app from MLB, you're not hearing the White Sox game if you're far away. So what do you, where are you right now? We just had somebody, was that Green Bay, Wisconsin? 312-981-7200. Steve's getting ready to do the news here in a second. Let's just read who you are, where you are, after the 1:30 news. We'll also talk to Adam Hogue. When's Adam coming on? Oh, wait a minute. Where's the She Shed lady? She's on at 2:10. And Adam is coming on at 1:30. Is that right, Elif? Producer Elif, Adam Hogue is joining us at 1:30. After the news, to preview the Bears and Packers, the NFL season, stuff like that. Had an interesting conversation with sports betting analyst Sam Panionovich, who used to work with us yesterday. And he was talking about what the lines are for the Bears this year. And the number of wins that the smart people are saying. Lauren Lapka, you follow sports more closely than I do. Didn't that sound a little low to you, 9?
Yeah, well, for me, who is actually feeling slightly optimistic more than usual as a Bears fan, it's because a lot of people outside of Chicago are worried about Mitchell Trubisky. So they don't think that he has improved as much as we do.
It's hard to know what with him not having taken but 4 snaps to hand off in the preseason.
That's true. But I think one of the big things about him was he really needed support. So he needs a good O-line to make sure that he's not getting sacked. And he needs good options in terms of moving the ball. So I feel like we have that in terms of running backs and receivers right now.
Yeah. But it's all got to click, and everybody has to perform as advertised.
And stay healthy.
I know. So I get that part. Well, so don't risk injury in the preseason. But it's just kind of a bit of blind faith now. We're betting on the resume, not anything that we've seen in the preseason, which, you know, is kind of hard to judge a team by anyway.
Well, they've practiced.
They practiced
scrimmages against each other.
Got to trust the coach.
Well, how many games do you think they're going to win, Steve?
Well, this is a must-win today. Everyone knows that.
I can do that too. I know how to do that. I don't know what it. I don't know what it means, but I know some of those lines.
I have no idea how many they're going to win. I have no clue.
All right, 16 games.
No, they're not going to win 16 games.
No, I know that. That's the number. But if you said, do you want over under on 9? I would definitely take the over.
I'd go over. I've been guessing 12-4.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. 12. And I mean, that would be a great seed. Didn't they win 12-4 last year? I'd take that. Anyway, Adam's going to join us in a little bit.
I thought there were others saying that they were actually predicted to, some were predicting them to do very badly this year.
Yeah, I've seen that as well. You know, so there were some of the smart people said the Cubs were going to suck it pretty bad this year. And sometimes they, maybe the jury's still out on that.
You want to finish that? Yeah.
Today is the day that if the White Sox win, how about this? Tell me if I got this right, Lapka. If the White Sox win today, they will have won more games than they did last year. I'm pretty sure this is their 62nd win. I think they were 162 last year. And this, I think, would be their 63rd win if they win today. Or maybe they were, or maybe they're still stuck on 62 if they win today. John, you want to talk about hidden costs? Talk about the hidden cost of ordering flowers online. 219 said, hey, I went to Vegas last November, stayed at the Venetian, booked through Southwest Airlines. We were reminded ad nauseum about the fact that up to 45 per day will be charged upon arrival for extra miscellaneous fees. Yep, we checked in, and $45 a day was charged. $45 a day. At least they told you, Southwest did. Thank you very much for that. That's all Steve Alexander was asking for.
Well, by the way, Sox would tie their record for last year.
62. So, yeah.
Today.
You know, and they said that yesterday, but they didn't win yesterday,
right.
Did they? So we're still looking for that 62nd win. Now, I think, Don, where are you listening to us? You're on WGN.
Good evening. Hamburg, Germany.
Hey, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Are you a displaced Chicagoan?
Suburban, yeah, from Batavia, Illinois.
Ah, yeah, we know that place well.
So from Batavia to Bavaria.
No, not Bavaria. I'm farther up north.
Ah, what are you doing up there? Working, traveling? What's your deal?
I'm working. I've been here about 19 years now.
Oh, wow, wow. So you've been following GN the 19 years that you've been up there?
A good part of it. I usually start my day when Nick is starting his.
Right.
And as you can imagine, that was quite a while ago today. I'm pulling a long shift.
Wow.
Trying to get some things done.
Yeah, so what time is it where you are right now?
It's 8:30 in the evening.
Right. So are you listening to us at work or at home then?
I'm listening to you guys at work. I've usually got the over the internet while I'm sitting here working.
All right, I got to do the news now, so I'm going to hang up on you. But what are Germans thinking about? What's the buzz in Germany these days?
A lot of it's just the global situation, the global warming, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Are they following Brexit? Are they following Trump and the United States?
Oh, please don't start.
I guess that's a yes, huh? Yeah. Well, listen, call us anytime, text us anytime. Thank you for including us in your day in Germany.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
It's 1:31. Okay, text us. Where are you listening? 312-981-7200. We'll talk Bears and Packers in a minute. Into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Stories that matter. Steve Bertrand.
Hurricane Dorian is pummeling the South Carolina coastline before the powerful storm moves to North Carolina. A flash flood warning has been issued for Charleston, South Carolina. Already 6 inches of rain there. State Representative David McSweeney, a Republican from Barrington Hills, says in a tweet that he won't run for re-election next year, but he also says he will likely run for a statewide office the year after that. And British Prime Minister Boris Johnson says there must be an election so the British public can decide whether to leave the EU on October 31st, as he wishes, I should say, or remain in the bloc for longer. He says he doesn't want an election, but he doesn't see another way. We'll check your money, sports, traffic, and weather next on WGN.
How you doing,
Al? I'm good.
Hey, how many times have you walked into a lake and, you know, and the water was warm on top, and all of a sudden, you know, you go out about 10 feet or 8 feet, and all of a sudden it was cold water? You know, could we just turn that water in the ocean with some kind of pumps or propellers or something to change the surface water? It's power from the warm water.
Okay,
and,
we need to channel the cool water from down below, send it back up top, and then the hurricane will cool out.
Well, it seems like when it hits cold water, it loses a lot of its power.
No, I think you're right.
And it might be simple enough to get some kind of machinery out there to remove that water from maybe 500 or 600 feet down to the surface, and maybe slow the damn thing down to where it wouldn't be so destructive, you know, or change direction. You there?
I don't think it's such a crazy idea.
You were making me mad yesterday. I'm in the car driving around listening to you.
Should have been on with us.
Well, I was.
Why were you upset?
Because you said that people can have crazy ideas that turn out to work, right? That someone would have said, oh, yeah, who would have thought cell phones 30 years ago? But, you know, someone's crazy idea worked. Okay, but those are men of people of science coming up with those ideas. They're not you and me. Just because you and I come up with some cockamamie idea of throwing ice cubes in the Gulf doesn't mean it should be studied because it might work.
I think that's elitist.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm serious. I think that's elitist.
I do not think that's elitist. If just because someone has an outrageous idea doesn't mean that it should be pursued.
Well, I didn't say it should be pursued. I said, let's not laugh at and humiliate people who want to announce an idea that's out of the box, like nuking a hurricane or dropping an ice cube in a hurricane, because that doesn't work, because it's impossible, because it wouldn't happen, because a lot of great ideas would have stalled if people were afraid to think and speak out of the box. So a lot of them won't work. A lot of them are crazy ideas. But let's not humiliate people for, you know, like when the teacher says there's no stupid questions, feel free to ask.
Right.
This comes from that school.
Okay, but I just think that I'm not qualified to come up with the crazy idea.
And that's the elitist part of it, because
I'm talking against myself. How can I be anti-elitist when it's myself?
It's because you make it sound as though strokes of genius are the province of a very select few. You know, I guess the people that have studied these things have a better shot at it, but I think you and I could have a eureka moment.
Think strokes of genius are the province of a very
of geniuses.
Few. Otherwise, they would be genius.
I think that, I'll bet you, hey, Aleph, look it up.
How many geniuses are there?
Here's what you're missing. That ordinary schlubs have had moments of clarity, and it has changed the world. And they are now famous because they did that, but you didn't know about them until they said, hey, okay, I got an idea.
But maybe, but those, I just don't think anyone, like, someone yesterday, I think, could have called and told you that if we just got rid of all the squids, it would work. And you would say, I think we should look into that. Well, I don't think every idea should be looked into.
Okay. And what I would have said, go ahead and say that. Call in.
John, I think the squids are causing the hurricanes, and if we put a giant machine, like a desquitter, in the Gulf or in the Atlantic coast, we could get rid of the hurricane.
Steve, thanks for the call. I don't like the chances of that, but I sure appreciate you thinking out of the box and having the courage to say it.
And that's not what you were saying. You were saying, like, yeah, we should look into that. That's why I was getting ticked.
Got it. All right. We asked you at 312-981-7200 to text where you're listening as we're on the stream today. We thought we had a higher proportion of people that were listening outside the metro. And I'm hearing from people that are listening throughout the Chicagoland area. Crown Point, Indiana is not what I had in mind, but thank you, Crown Point, for listening. But also the state of Oregon, Scottsdale, Arizona. Hi, John, it's Polly. I live in Denver, Colorado. Orange County, California, after relocating from Reno. Thank you for bringing us along. John, we're listening every day in Lincoln, Nebraska. We used to live in Lake County, Illinois. John, 727 says, St. Petersburg, Florida here, Columbus, Ohio, Bovee, Minnesota. You are listening to us. Kathy is in Spring Lake, Michigan, Dirty Dogs Lake, Geneva, Wisconsin, East Peoria, Illinois, Oakland, California, Deming, New Mexico, Lombard. Again, not exactly what I had in mind, but you're listening to us on the stream. We appreciate that. Joe's listening in San Francisco. 480, you're listening in Chandler, Arizona. You say I do almost every day. Bloomington, Illinois. Hello, Central Illinois. And the list goes on. Northfield, Massachusetts, in my summer cottage on the porch, on the couch. How fun is that? Carol Crawford, formerly of Lake Zurich, now listening to you in Knoxville, Tennessee. John, I'm listening to you from the Villages in Florida. A lot of people are here listening to us down there. Las Vegas, and the list goes on. Adam Hogue just strolled into our studio, A, where Rokan and Anna DeVlantis do their show. Hi, sir. How are you?
Isn't it great that what technology does to bring us all together?
Totally.
We had a show last night at Houndstooth Saloon for our podcast, the Hogan Johns podcast. We had people that came in. Now, they came for the game, granted, but they came in from Virginia, Minnesota. Somebody was there from Germany.
Adam, I heard there were so many people that they couldn't get in the room last night for you.
There was actually an overflow room. That actually was the case, and they put us up on a monitor so people in there could see us, and of course they could hear us. But it's just, especially in the podcast world, the reach. We have a lot of listeners that love the Bears in Europe, and so they listen to a podcast because that's how they get their Bears talk.
Well, that's a feather in your cap, but it's also a popular podcast because you guys just do such a good job.
Well, thank you.
We brag about the Mincing Rascals all the time. We don't have a fraction of the listenership you did. We got to talk about the Bears more on the Mincing Rascals podcast.
Well, I was going to say, I got to credit the Bears a little bit, too, because they always give us stuff to talk about that fans want to hear, like this giant football game tonight at Soldier Field.
I'm just going to read a few more locations, and let's talk about that. Dubuque, Iowa. Hey, John, we're listening in Noonan, Georgia, the only station we still love after moving here 6 years ago. Somebody else said, I'm listening to you in California. Buckeye, Arizona. We moved here from Fox River Grove last year. We love you guys at WGN. I'll bet the folks that are listening to us on the stream, hello, Houston, Texas. Thanks for listening. Are really tapped into this game today because it connects them to Chicago and the great rivalry with the Green Bay Packers. The NFL's 100 years this year?
100 years, the Bears' 100th season, and I just think it's really cool what they did with this game. It's always usually the Super Bowl winner playing whoever's on their schedule in week one. That's the kickoff game. And the NFL said, hey, it's the 100th season. We got to do this differently. And we got the Bears, who are celebrating their 100th season. The Packers actually celebrated their 100th season last year because they existed before the league all came together. And so you just got this great rivalry to one really good team, I think the Bears. And the Packers are good, too. They're going to be in the conversation this year. So what a great way. And as I look out the studio right now, what a perfect day in Chicago,
too. How about it? Well, so this is the NFL acknowledging that the greatest rivalry, then, is the Bears and Packers.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the other ones? What compares to this? Who are the teams that love to hate each other?
I mean, the fact that I even have to hesitate to think about it tells you that the Bears and Packers are clearly the best.
I mean, I'm thinking Oakland and San Francisco, or that's
a little bit,
but
the Raiders have moved around. You know, I looked to the AFC North, the Steelers and Browns probably going back, and even more recently, the Steelers and Ravens. But the Ravens haven't existed that long either.
100 years. This is it.
A lot of the great rivalries involve the Bears because not only have they been around so long, but they were really good when the, you know, in the early parts of the franchise. And so going back and spending some of my summer reading up on these things, they had a great rivalry with the Giants.
The Bears?
Yes.
Really? Over the years?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Vikings?
Well, of course, because they're in the same division, but the Vikings aren't, they don't go back as far. And then the interesting thing is people forget the Arizona Cardinals are originally from Chicago. The Chicago Cardinals. They played at Comiskey Park. And so you actually used to have a crosstown rivalry
in the NFL.
And then they ended up moving to St. Louis, and then they moved on to Arizona. And so the Cardinals, you don't think about them this way, but are also one of the oldest franchises in the NFL. But people are like, oh, they're in Arizona. And, you know, sports aren't huge. Half Arizona is Chicago fans, right? Anyway,
prioritize for me what do you think are the flashpoints tonight? Trubisky's one? I mean, would he be the most interesting unknown in this game tonight?
Yeah, I think for sure him taking the next step. To me, the biggest unknown in the football game is actually what the Packers are going to bring on offense. They have a brand new head coach who's only 39 years old, 4 years older than Aaron Rodgers. How is that going to mesh? You got this big all-time great quarterback who's saying, I've been doing this way forever. I don't need a young head coach to come in here and change everything. I'm not saying that's what he's saying now, but you do wonder with these dynamics with these head coaches, what is this all going to look like tonight for the Packers against this great Bears defense, who, oh, by the way, have a different coordinator now, too. So does that look different at all? That's kind of where I'm focused on tonight, on what could be different and what's kind of unexpected.
Are the expectations possibly too high for Khalil Mack?
No. Khalil Mack is one of those rare players that you know what you're getting from him. As long as he's healthy, he is going to be a game wrecker. That's what he is. Even in the games where he's not necessarily sacking the quarterback every quarter, he's getting so much attention from the opposing offense that it's opening up things for the rest of the defense. And so Khalil Mack is the one constant, fixed constant on this team that, now we could say, are there too many expectations on the Bears as a whole this year? Maybe. But Khalil Mack, no.
What is the expectation for the Bears this year?
Well, John, I have them going 13-3 and winning the Super Bowl.
Yes, Sam was talking about that yesterday. he's rolling his eyes a little bit, but I thought that 9 was low. I would sure take the over. 12 is not that different than 13, but you've got them 13-3 and winning the Super Bowl.
The schedule's harder this year. That's what fans got to realize. I love that as somebody who covers the team because almost every single week it's a big game. Now, it's always a big game when they're good, but I'm talking the matchup. I mean, the Saints come to town this year. They're really good. The Chiefs, Matt Nagy going against his former mentor and Andy Reid. I mean, these games every week are going to be good, even outside the division. And that's going to be hard to win. I'm not lying. It's going to be hard to win 13 of 16 of those games.
Why do you got them doing that?
Because I just think they're really good. And I think that this city, as much hype as there is about the Bears and as much excitement as there is among the fan base, I think there's still the skepticism that, hey, this franchise, more times than not, is bad and struggle and can't win that Super Bowl.
They get in their own way.
And
they double doink.
So I get it, but I'm going out on a limb and saying I think across the board they're good. It's okay to admit that. It's okay to think they're going to win the Super Bowl.
Have we overplayed the significance of the kicking game?
No, because I still think as we go into this game tonight, it's the biggest weakness on the team. Part of that, though, is because Eddie Pinheiro is an unknown. We don't know. He's never kicked in an NFL game before other than these preseason games. But this is his first real NFL game tonight. We don't know how it's going to go. I feel better about it than I did going into the playoff game because at that point we kind of realized Cody Parkey, not that good. So,
he's not playing. He's not in the NFL right now.
No, he actually had a workout with the Titans the other day but has not gotten a job.
Huh. Yeah. What about the backfield and what about the wide receivers?
I think, what time is it now? We are coming on 1:50, right?
Yeah.
And the game starts, so maybe 7-8 hours from now, America is going to be in love with David Montgomery, the Bears' rookie running back out of Iowa State. I think he's a perfect fit for this offense. I think he's going to be relied on right away, and I think he has a chance to be rookie of the year. In the NFL.
Has he been getting a lot of snaps in the preseason?
He did the first game because they wanted to see him, and he looked so good that Matt Nagy said, you are not playing the rest of the preseason.
You sit with Mitch and Khalil.
Yes. You go over with the guys that are good, and you will not play again.
I wonder how that makes the other guys feel. I mean, I'm sure they want the reps, but it does make you feel expendable, doesn't it?
It kind of divides the team a little bit. You're the players that don't need to play. Here are the ones that do.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to love the he's going to carry the ball. Is he our feature back?
I think so, but let's not forget about Tariq Cohen. Still really, really good player who's going to be involved in the passing game, and we'll get some carries here and there too. But I think in terms of who's getting the ball handed off to him when they're running the football, it's going to be mostly David Montgomery.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
And then who's going to catch the passes that Trubisky is actually going to complete to them?
Well, that's the hope, right? Can Trubisky be more accurate? Allen Robinson set up for a huge year, I think. He had a good year last year, but was coming off an ACL injury, so it wasn't quite 100%. If you saw late in the year, especially fourth quarter against the Eagles in the playoffs, those two guys had a great connection. I think Allen Robinson's going to have a huge season, and let's not forget about Anthony Miller, second-year player who showed a lot of potential last year. Can he make that next step? Because he's got a chance to be a big superstar. And I should talk about Trey Burton, the tight end, because he's questionable tonight with a groin injury. It's like nothing changed in 8 months. The Bears have a suspect kicker, and Trey Burton has a groin injury. So if he's – this is the exact same storylines for the playoffs. So if he can't go, then the Bears are going to be a little bit depleted at tight end, and they're going to rely on Adam Shaheen a little bit more.
Do I remember correctly that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers didn't get off to a good start last year, or they had a real flat period, and he said, don't worry, we're going to be okay? Is that the version of the Packers you get these days?
You know, it's – they've actually had a few seasons like that. You know, you might remember a few years ago, he had the famous R-E-L-A-X, relax, and then they went off and they won like every game the rest of the season until they got to the playoffs. That was kind of the MO. They would start slow, and then they would turn it on in the second half behind Aaron Rodgers' right arm, and they'd be fine. Last year, though, that never happened. They beat the Bears week one. Then they tied against the Vikings, which almost never happens. They tied the Vikings, and I think they lost a couple games after that. And all of a sudden, it's like, all right, are they going to turn it around? And they never did, which is why Mike McCarthy got fired. And I think there's a lot of holes on this Packers team. They're good. They're not great. And Aaron Rodgers, he's getting up there. He's 35 years old now. Can he stay healthy for the whole season? And I think that's a big question mark.
They got a good quarterback behind him? Like he was too?
No. No, they have Tim Boyle, second year quarterback out of Eastern Kentucky. I study these quarterbacks really hard coming out of college, and I barely know this guy.
Who plays behind Mitch Trubisky again?
That's Chase Daniel.
Yeah, he's serviceable.
He's fine. I mean, you saw last year, Mitch missed two games. He went 1-1. That's kind of best case scenario, is that if he goes down, you want your backup quarterback to come in and keep you floating around 500. The problem is that's not good enough if it's a catastrophic injury and he's lost for the year.
What's going to be different about the NFL this year? Something? Nothing? Is it, because I know last year we talked a lot about where quarterbacks get hit and protecting them seemed to be a big part of the game. Are there any rule changes or just dynamics of the game that you think are noteworthy?
Well, along those lines, well if we're going that route, pass interference is now reviewable. You remember what happened in the NFC Championship? Wrong team went to the Super Bowl.
If ever for one play you should change the rules of the game, that was it.
It was, except I think it's a little of an overreaction. When has that happened in the history of the NFL?
Not much.
It happened one time. Do we really need to change a huge part of the game? How many times is the game going to get stopped now to review pass interference?
Are you not a replay guy? You don't love it so much?
I do like replay. I'm a little hesitant about going down this road with judgment calls, though, because until this point, judgment calls have never been reviewable.
I am that way about pretty much every sport. I think they overuse it in baseball, and people want the machines to start calling balls and strikes. Yeah. I'm not one of them. I think it hurts the flow of the game, and I think the players would dislike it more than the fans. But boy, oh boy, in that case, it sure seemed to be needed. Yeah, give them some discretion. I don't know how. Maybe you could, have not every one of those reviewable. I guess this would be the case, but you leave it up to the discretion of the officials. Somebody could whisper in their ear from New York, well, hey, guys, time out. We got to look at that again.
Yeah, so you remember a couple years ago how out of hand the catch-no-catch issue became?
Yeah.
I mean, we're stopping every game two or three times, and no one can figure out what a catch is.
Yeah.
And they finally fixed it last year. They simplified it. They said, let's use some common sense here. If the guy pulls the ball in, gets 2 feet in, it's a catch. If he loses it after that when he's out of bounds, who cares?
Yeah.
They fixed that. My concern, though, is that this is going to become the new catch-no-catch problem, that they're going to review a pass interference tonight, and they might make a decision, and then Sunday when the rest of the games happen, they're going to review those, and it's going to look different. They're going to be looking at different criteria because every one of these referees is different. It's just a judgment call. I don't know how you can make it consistent.
Adam Hogue, what's your podcast called?
It's called the Hogue and Johns Podcast. There's still time to check out our episode from last night before kickoff tonight. And we will also have a post-game episode after the game tonight. Win or lose, whatever happens, we'll be breaking it down.
Does Roe get off early for the three Bears today for our Bears coverage? I believe so.
Yeah.
He might be participating.
What do you mean?
I think he's a part of the show. Yeah.
Who is?
Rokan.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
But he's not normally part of the three Bears.
Correct.
But they're doing that tonight, I think, starting at 6.
That's correct, until kickoff, and I am on with them at 6:35.
I'm not a big bets guy, but I'm just going to throw some of these prop bets that we were talking with Sam Panionovic yesterday. Khalil Mack sacks 13.5 for the season.
Over. I think he's got a chance to get 20.
Akeem Hicks tackles for loss 11.5.
Under, but just barely.
Team missed field goals 5.5.
Over.
We're going to miss more than 5.5. And is that may not be catastrophic anyway, right?
No, I mean, if
Robbie Gould usually missed fewer than that, but that's not 10. You could get 6 here. You're going to take the over at 5.5?
Yeah, I am. I mean, that doesn't include extra points, though.
It does not.
Field goals. 6, but I don't think it's going to be as big of a problem as it was last year.
Bears playoff wins. He's got a 1-5. Well, you say 3, essentially.
That's right. First round bye and win 3 games. Yep.
Bears to win the NFC, plus 500. $100 wins 500. You'd take that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I like that.
Khalil Mack to win the MVP. He's got it at 100-1.
I don't think he wins MVP. I do think he wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Mitch Trubisky to win MVP.
This is an interesting thing.
I think this is insane.
Yeah,
my
answer is no.
Thank you.
My answer is no, but the odds for this came out at 200 to 1. And at 200 to 1, I would have put $5 down on that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I know that, but that's still that is a different answer to the question.
Yeah,
because which you're still saying I don't think it's going to happen, but
right.
Yeah, I've got the money to lose. I didn't ask you if you had $100 to lose. I asked you if you thought he was going to win MVP.
No, I don't.
And you don't think he's going to win MVP, but you might take action on that at 200 to 1.
I think it's in the realm of possibilities. If the Bears are a Super Bowl team and he's the quarterback on that team and he gets better,
then he's in the conversation.
That puts you in the conversation.
Absolutely. The Hoag and Johns podcast. And listen for Adam this evening as our pregame coverage for, and we don't even do the games.
I know.
But we have the best pregame coverage, the most listened to, funniest, most insightful, most outrageous pregame show in town.
And postgame. They're on afterwards, after the game too, and I'll join them after the game with all the locker room reaction.
It's always good to see and hear you, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me.
Adam Hoag.
Thinking big thoughts, so you don't have to.
Speaking of weather.
Here's John Williams.
Have you heard about the latest gate? This is John. We're in the 18th story Skyline Studio, downtown Chicago. What a glorious day. Producer Elif is calling some family and friends in South Carolina and parts in the southeast. They were doing well. Many other people aren't. The video we're watching online today and on CNN, I have a monitor here, is just spectacular. It's amazing how devastating Hurricane Dorian has been. Sharpie Gate is trending. Do you know what Sharpie Gate is? Sharpie Gate is the latest attempted humor that the internet is having relative to the president's drawing an extra cone of the hurricane's direction in a place it would never went and probably was never supposed to go. But he wanted to justify some of his earlier warnings to the people in the South. And so he went ahead and took a Sharpie and put it on the official maps that projected where the hurricane was going to go. And a reporter called him out on it. Good for him. In this press briefing that the president called, he said, sir, it looks like you just drew that thing on to accommodate what you were saying. And he says, well, we'll get some maps to show this, but it could have gone there. It's called Sharpie Gate. Maybe another layer of dishonesty that the president lays on us. But Sharpie Gate is now a series of memes. For instance, they're showing the president's wall. And it's an empty plane in Arizona, and then a magic marker has drawn a wall in place. There is his putting, and it shows a golf hole, and then it's widened the hole out farther to accommodate the missed putt. My favorite one is the inauguration picture, and then they just drew a bunch of stick people in there with their Sharpie to accommodate his earlier estimates of the crowd size. That's Sharpie Gate for you.
As mean as the internet can be, it can also be so amazing.
I'm amazing at how funny people can be. Random
right.
Folks just killing it out there.
Did you talk about the one showing him drawn on Mount Rushmore?
No, I did not, yeah. But there is the latest Sharpie Gate. If you don't laugh, you cry. It's 210. We asked you to tell us where you're listening to WGN Radio today. And boy, you're listening to us from all across the globe, really. I mean, one of our listeners just called in a while ago. You heard from Germany. And then, shoot, Elif, if you just handed me the list, here it is. There's a picture of one of our listeners, Carolyn, in St. Pete. You got your Bears shirt on. You sent us a picture, too. Thank you, Carolyn. You look great. John, we're listening in Linton, Indiana, hometown of Phil Harris. Baloo in Disney's animated The Jungle Book. We're listening to you in Martha's Vineyard, John. Listening in upstate South Carolina, Scottsdale, Arizona. John, longtime listener from Green Bay, Wisconsin. Go Pack. Oregon is listening. Hey, John, this is Rhonda, listening online in Peoria, Elkhart, Indiana, Bois Blanc Island in Michigan, Orange County, California. Tom's listening in the Loop, One South Dearborn. He says AM radio didn't come through real well in this building. No kidding. St. Petersburg, Florida, Atlanta, Georgia, sunny and 97 degrees here. John, we miss Chicago. Hello, Orlando, Long Beach, California. What up? King John, keep it rad, says somebody listening to us down there. And John, we are hurricane free, thank goodness, in Palm City, Florida. My daughter lives in Uptown. Originally, I guess, from the Englewood neighborhood is Nicole J. Butler. You know her from those State Farm commercials?
Well, it finally happened, Zachary. Somebody burned down my she shed.
Nobody burned down your she shed, Cheryl.
Well, my she shed's on fire.
Your she shed was struck by lightning.
Zachary, is my she shed covered by State Farm?
Your she shed's covered, Cheryl.
You hear that, Victor? I'm getting a new she shed.
I'm getting a new she shed.
Yes.
Well done. Well done, Nicole J. This is John, and you're on WGN. How are you?
I'm doing great. So glad to be on the radio with you.
It's not that often that we go out of our way to interview somebody that's in a State Farm commercial.
I'll bet.
But you've lit it up, lady. I mean, not that you weren't already a face that we might recognize. I don't know how, you know, every day, how household your name is, but we've certainly seen you in other TV shows. My wife loved Heart of Dixie.
Great.
Jane the Virgin had a nice little run. The Carmichael Show. You've been in a series of commercials. So you're a everyday working actress. Is that a fair description?
Yes, I'm a working actress, and like most working actresses who aren't celebrities, you don't know our names, but you know us when you see us.
Now, that's you, especially now. I understand that, according to the Sun-Times, when you're walking around in L.A., say, somebody will just go, hey, she said.
Yeah, it freaked me out at first, but I've gotten used to it. I'm either just, hey, she said, or she said, Cheryl, and I answered either one.
How many cuts did it take you guys? Because the interplay between you and your co-star of that commercial is just so good. You're both so deadpan. He's got the hose. You've got this blank look. How often did it take you guys to do that?
Well, the director, Craig Gillespie, gave us a lot of chances to play. Like, once he knew he had what he needed, he said, okay, try something different. And so we just went on and on and on for a long time. So we didn't know what the commercial was going to look like because we didn't know what take was going to end up in it.
What did you think when you first saw it then?
I laughed when I saw it. Usually, you know, as an actor or an actress, you look at work and you see yourself. You start critiquing yourself. Oh, I could have done this better. I could have done that. But when I saw it, I just laughed. Like, it was, I thought it was funny.
Where do you live now? Are you in California?
Yes. I live in Los Angeles, originally from Chicago, born and raised. But I've been here for 21 years now. But I will never not be a Chicago girl. I tell everybody that. I refuse to not say pop.
Southside?
Southside, yeah. I went to Morgan Park High School. And then went to the University of Iowa for college, and then I moved out here.
Huh. You know, I don't want to make too much out of it because it's not like it can't be done, but when you see somebody comes from Englewood or from the South Side and it has the education and the success that you do, you really want to champion that cause as something extraordinary. Can you just talk a little bit about what it was like growing up there and how you got out and how you became the successful person you are?
Well, I had, times were different then. You know, then there are some things going on now that weren't going on then. But I think the fact that I had a very supportive family around me helped tremendously. It helped with everything from going away to college to moving to LA, because I knew if I screwed up horribly and my life just fell apart, I could always go home. Also, they stressed the importance of education, and they told me that I could do anything that I wanted. Now, they did get a little afraid when I told them, well, I'm going to be an actress.
Yeah, anything but that. Right, anything but that. You went to the University of Iowa?
I did, yeah. Go Hawks.
And you have six sisters and a brother? Is that what I saw?
I do, yeah. So, yeah, I'm the oldest.
Are you the actress in the family, or are they in the arts too?
I am the actress in the family, yep. None yet. No other ones yet.
Yeah, we'll no see. Kidding. Maybe we'll see. Mm-hmm. So you go out to L.A. What was your first break? I mean, how do you get from Iowa to become a working actress?
Oh, it was a long and winding road. I got stuck in corporate America for a while, working jobs. They were good jobs. I got paid well, worked with good people, but I hated my life. And finally, one day, I decided that I either needed to do what I came out here to do, or I needed to go somewhere else where I could afford to buy property. And I went back to school for 2 years, studied at the Meisner Center, and I said, it's now or never, and launched my career. I got a commercial agent right away, Hugh Leon. I've been with him for 15 years now, and booked a commercial that same year, my first union commercial that got me into the union, and I just stayed the course, really. I just stayed the course.
What was that commercial?
It was a milk commercial. Remember the milk? I didn't have a milk mustache, but it was kind of a milk is as good for your insides as it is for your outsides type of commercial.
You know, when we see movies and TV shows about actresses or actors that are trying to get into the business and they're auditioning, say, for the milk commercial, and the scene they always show is 52 other people that look just like you, dress just like you, you know, competing for the same job you are, and you wonder how you can ever stand out. How realistic is that scene?
It is very realistic. You walk into a room and it can be a little disconcerting to see like 50 versions of you. You're like, any of us can do this job. But what I do to stay sane and not be too neurotic is to stay true to myself. They called me in, so they want to see me, and I'm going to always be a better me, real me, than a fake somebody else. So I follow my own sensibilities, and that has helped tremendously. And I also don't look at it as a competition against other actresses. I am competing with myself to be better than I was the last time they saw me. So I just stay prepared, and I go in, and I give them what I have, and that's the best that I can do.
Do you think this commercial helps or hurts your chances to be in a TV show or a movie?
I think it helps me because I've been working a long time, and but people still didn't know my name. A lot of people didn't. More people know my name now. They're looking back at my body of work and they're realizing, oh, this wasn't an accident. Like I didn't just get here and it wasn't luck. It's been the result of a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
For myself and my team. So I think it really helps. And I'm hoping to book something and be able to shoot in Chicago because that would be a full circle moment.
You know, this is intended to be a compliment, but when I saw the commercial the first time, I thought it felt so authentic. I thought, that's not an actress. That's just some lady that they coached, because it just looks, I don't know, so funny, but also so real. And then when I read your story, I thought, what an idiot I am. It's not as easy as it looks. That takes to be that deadpan, that natural, and that funny is actually a skill that we don't have, and that you have to hone that craft. Am I onto something there?
Thank you so much for that. I take it as a compliment. It's like when you watch dancers, they make it look easy, but then you go and try and do it, and you hurt yourself.
Yeah.
Well, with acting, I feel like a lot of people think, oh, I can memorize lines and hit my mark, and that's it. But it is a craft, just like any other, and we have to work hard at it. So thank you.
So Jane the Virgin, Heart of Dixie, The Carmichael Show. Tell me a little bit about your parts on, you know, mainstream TV shows like that.
There have been quite a few. One standout experience was Mike and Molly. I was fortunate enough to be in the series finale, and when you go into a place as a guest actress, you're in someone else's home, and you just, you know, hope, usually they're nice to you, you know, and welcoming. And this cast, from working together for so long, they were so cohesive, they were so warm and welcoming, I was only there for a few days, but that experience has cemented itself in my memory. Like, I'll carry that with me forever.
You know, I wondered about that too. I mean, I suppose we all just kind of wonder what the business is like as we watch TV and movies, and I thought, if you have a guest role on a show, you kind of want to knock it out of the park, because it's not unheard of where then they invite that person back. But if you play your hand too hard, you don't want to eat the scenery, then they're going to regret having had you on at all. So it's kind of a delicate dance.
Right. It is. It's exactly like going into someone else's home and hoping to make a good impression, you know, do what you dare to do and, you know, not don't wear out your welcome.
I want to read to you some of the questions and answers that we were reading in the Sun-Times. This Misha Davenport piece was just really fun. I thought it was really well done. And it goes back to the State Farm ad that your more than 15 minutes of fame are ticking here. I mean, you've got a career outside of this. But she said, were you familiar with the term she shed before you auditioned? And you said you hadn't heard of that until you got the script. Is that right?
I had no idea what a she shed was. I read that script and I was like, oh, okay, what is this? What is this? And I went straight to my computer, looked it up, and thankfully for Pinterest, you know, I was able to see, oh, these are cool. And I got lost in that for a bit and then reminded myself, oh, yeah, we're working. We're working here.
And for those who haven't done that, what is a she shed? Tell us.
A she shed is like the female version of a man cave. Only it's a shed outside of the house, usually the backyard, and women can go in there and do whatever women do. You're a guy, so I can't tell you what we do. but it's like a little feminine clubhouse for the women of the house.
With a chandelier in this case.
With a chandelier, yes. And I want my next one. Hopefully I'll get to see she shed number two. Hopefully it'll be two stories with an elevator. I'm lobbying for that.
Now, the internet, though, is falling in love with or playing with the she-shier she-shed, because when Cheryl's she-shed burns, she then says she wants a she-shier she-shed. What is she-shier?
She-she is like posh. So it's more, it's like posher, better than before, more chic than before.
She-shier she-shed.
She-shier she-shed. I didn't know. I didn't even, because I had the script in front of me and I saw how it was written, I got it. But in saying it and the people listening not seeing the script, now I get why they say, oh, I thought it was S-H-E-S-H-E, which also works.
Yeah, I guess so. It could be even more for Cheryl, the she shed lady, but no, you mean fancier. I got it all along. I mean, and I'm no genius here, but I think I always understood what you were saying and what it meant. But the internet was also playing with that phrase because they haven't heard of she-shier. And frankly, since they wisely named your character Cheryl, you have this unending alliteration where syllables kind of get lost. So a she-shier she-shed for Cheryl can be a little confusing, which probably made it more fun for you, right?
It was a lot of fun. It was. I've had people ask me, "Is it a tongue twister?" I'm like, no, it just flows. Like, it was very good writing. And she said, it just, you know, it rolls off the tongue.
And some of that was up to your co-star Reggie Corelli, who plays your husband in that. Victor. He was just as good as you.
He's such a good actor. He was a joy to work with, and we're still in contact with each other on a regular basis.
Well, I think you're supposed to, I think you're married. I don't know if you know that, but
how do you spell she-shier?
Yeah, spell she-shier, Cheryl.
C-H-I-C-H-I-E-R.
That's what I thought.
She-shier.
But see, when I Google it, all I get are State Farm commercial or Urban Dictionary.
So it's not. It's a new word, is what we've introduced into the lexicon here.
Yes. Yeah.
Did you see how many times?
I'm scared to hear what Urban Dictionary has to say.
I know. I thought, be careful, because I'm worried about some of these syllables. Did you? I mean, the video's been watched a million times voluntarily on the internet.
Right.
Do you get any money for those views?
I get paid for them initially putting it on the internet, but I don't get paid per view for that. Only for television. And the radio spot. I did the radio spot also.
Lastly, the internet is asking, who started the fire in the she shed? And will Cheryl get a new? I mean, she wants a she-shier she-shed, but have they talked to you about the sequel to this commercial, if you will?
Not yet. I'm hoping that happens because I two, I want everybody who loves this commercial to see the She She or She Shed, and I also want to see it. And as far as who burned it down, I know everybody thinks it's Victor, but I'm going to choose to believe that my husband would not do that to me, and State Farm does not pay out for arson, so that's, Victor did not burn down the She Shed.
Really, that's not a small point. If you're going to burn down your thing and take the insurance, if State Farm knows it, then you don't get the check anyway, so let's not go
right,
there.
Right.
Victor,
right.
What are you
so
thinking?
He did not... Right.
Well, what a pleasure. By the way, are you married, not to Victor?
No, I'm not married.
So,
you know somebody? I'm teasing.
It's nice to talk to you. Nicole J. Butler from Morgan Park High, from Morgan Park and Inglewood neighborhood via the University of Iowa and now in Los Angeles where they make TV shows, and that's one of the funniest commercials you've seen in a long time. Nice to talk to you, Nicole J. Let's stay in touch. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to talk to you, too.
What a pleasure, huh? So that's how they do that. A couple of texts include these. John, great interviewing this actress. She's fascinating, says 630. And somebody else in the same area code said, in the commercial for State Farm with Cheryl, whose she shed is burning, she said it finally happened. Well, how do we know she didn't start it? How many times has she been trying to? I didn't ask her that. But I guess the storyline wouldn't go that way because, again, State Farm wouldn't pay for arson. And if you started the fire for insurance purposes, that's arson, so they wouldn't pay. So even if they do a round two on this, it can't go there.
But well, I hope they're rewarding whoever came up with this campaign idea.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I've been doing this as a career for a pretty long time. I don't recall spending that much time dissecting a State Farm commercial or any other.
I have another question, too. Why is he holding the hose, dribbling?
Why isn't he putting out the fire?
Right.
That's
it's
a good question.
Because he wants the she shed to burn down.
And why does he want the she shed to burn down?
Because he's selfish. I don't know. Why wouldn't he want his wife to have a nice little getaway like that?
Yeah. Anyway. Maybe because Cheryl in the she shed commercial is having an affair with somebody else. And so he torches it. He's got the hose. He's not even putting it out. He's not helping. And she's going, you know, that's your problem, Cheryl, with your she shed. Maybe you shouldn't have shimmied around with Chauncey.
And he's wearing a robe. You've got to pay attention to that, too.
Well, I guess it's in the morning. All right, Steve, sorry.
Message received.
All right. Come on, Steve. You can't help but get caught up in the intrigue.
So if it wasn't a fair, it would be a he said, she said?
Too good.
Good night, everybody. Good night. Those of you, of course, scoring at home, Bertrand wins. We asked you to text and tell us where you're listening to this radio show today. We are at WGNRadio.com. On WGN Radio, it's the White Sox baseball game right now, so you are only able to hear us online or on whatever device you're listening to us, the app, whatever. But as a result, my guess is we have a higher percentage of people listening from out of state because folks can listen to us on the radio in this area. The list grows all around the world. We'll pick up a few more of these in a few minutes. But did you not hear my petition for that? Where are you listening to the show today? Just text it to 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Tell us who you are and where you're listening. Teddy Saves America is our new Teddy Roosevelt show. It's going to take place October 12th. We are about a third sold out this week. We just put the tickets up, and they're going fast. Please do come. You will enjoy this. This has become my little cause because I think it's good for us to know our history and to be entertained in the process. And this does that. It's Teddy Roosevelt on stage with me. Saturday, October 12th, 10:30 in the morning, Elgin Community College's beautiful Blizzard Theater. Tickets at WGNRadio.com/Teddy or call the box office. Phone number's not here. See what I mean? The phone number's not here. But that's all right. Although it's not all right. The phone number should be here. But anyway, WGNRadio.com/Teddy. Go there and all the information you need is right there. It's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. What are you doing, Ella?
I'm playing Ariana Grande because her lawsuit drama with Forever 21 has escalated.
I thought that was going to be a one-day story. It's day two now.
It's day three, actually.
New wrinkle, yeah.
So the reason why it's escalated is it all started with Grande suing the fashion retailer for using her lookalikes and her outfits in their social media campaign. And now one of the stars of RuPaul's Drag Race says Ariana Grande ripped off one of her outfits by commissioning a designer to copy her outfit.
RuPaul's?
Yeah.
So
someone from RuPaul's Drag Race.
So while RuPaul, while Ariana Grande seemed to be the victim of the merchandiser, the RuPaul people are saying that she was stealing something, appropriating something from them.
Exactly. So they're saying, well, if she can sue, then I would like to cut of that
sue,
$10 million
but,
she's asking
you know,
for.
You see that sometimes there's somebody in an ad, and you go, oh, my God, that's somebody famous. You go, no, they're just getting somebody that looks like somebody famous. But when they started to, this is the charge, actually copy her clothes themselves, wear fashions that she wears, to me, that's like, what a red flag. Why didn't somebody at Forever 21 go, you guys, it's bad enough that we're stealing her likeness, but the clothing itself, we're going to get sued. We're going to get, maybe they knew that and figured, we're on WGN radio, we'll be in newspapers, and it's good publicity. Maybe it's the price of doing business.
Could be.
But then you got to, then the penalty has to be significant to discourage that. $10 million, I don't know.
$10 million.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of feel like Forever 21 is a company that could probably afford that, but
yeah.
But I don't know if I would want to pay for that. So the reason why she's actually, another reason why she's suing is because Forever 21 approached her with a possible contract for her to model for their campaign. And Ariana Grande turned them down when they wouldn't pay enough for someone of her stature.
Fair enough. I mean, you know, I'm Ariana Grande. If you don't want to pay me what it's worth, then go get somebody else.
Yeah.
So then they get somebody that looks like her, puts that person in her clothes, and just does it anyway.
It is kind of creepy, though, if you look at the pictures.
I think it's $10 million. I mean, I think you have to, listen, I don't have a dog in this hunt. Both of them will be fine. But if you think that's wrong, then yeah, make it painful. Sue them for a lot.
What's worse, though? Forever 21 ripping off your style for their own marketing, or you ripping off someone else's style and then using it to leverage your own lawsuit, your own side in the lawsuit? Which
That's what
worse?
She's, well, I don't know. It sounds to me like if she's appropriated, this is one of the designers from Drag Queen, from RuPaul?
It's a designer that she herself commissioned to copy someone's outfit on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Ariana Grande hired somebody to copy something on Drag Race. I don't know how far you go. Like, if I have a song and you approximate it and we could prove that you consciously did so, I think we know where we are on that. If you do that with somebody's style and then you wear it on stage, but you're not selling it, you know, it's just your style. You know, I want to dress like Steve Bertrand. If I do, can Steve sue me for dressing like him? I'm not selling Steve Bertrand fashions, so I'm not sure where that line is.
Well, it's in the music video to the song that I just played. I should have mentioned that. But
the Ariana Grande music video.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
well, no,
it kind of does.
Now they are making some money, yeah.
Because of the numbers on YouTube, and yeah, that's it. Numbers on YouTube. It's a big sell. I don't know.
We asked you to tell us where you're listening to the show today. A lot of you are listening online. John, I'm driving in our RV in Santa Barbara, California. John, we're listening in Sadorus, Illinois. I raised my feet off the floor and got goosebumps when Steve Bertrand read the snake story. I don't blame you for that. A school in the area, they can't find, what was it, a python? But they think it might be in the air conditioning ductwork. 618 said, hi, John. I work at your old stomping grounds, Southern Illinois University. I presume the Carbondale one, although I lived at Edwardsville for a year, too. It's pretty country down there. You see the images of the new Starbucks that's coming to Chicago? They have what they call the Reserve Roasteries. This will be the largest Starbucks in the world. It'll be on Michigan Avenue in what used to be the Crate and Barrel store on North Avenue. So at North and Michigan, big marquee corner location, used to be this really big and really nice. We liked shopping there, Crate and Barrel. It didn't do very well. And one of the reasons is because, you think about it, what's Crate and Barrel? You're buying bowls and knives and chairs and things. And maybe you're getting a pepper shaker, and that's small. But a lot of times when you buy stuff from Crate and Barrel, you've got some stuff there. So if you're walking down Michigan Avenue, you go, oh, let's go into Crate and Barrel, and then you find something. If you're a tourist, and a lot of you are, how are you going to get that home? Maybe they could ship it, but it's more complicated. Maybe you're in from the suburbs and you've got to walk it back to your car. You know, I think one of the things that works against it was the merchandise was great and the prices weren't bad, but you had to get it out of the store. And that's just not easy in that situation. I don't think that helped. Rent probably wasn't cheap. But then you say, okay, but they can make it go on a Starbucks? I don't know if this is going to be a profitable Starbucks, and maybe it doesn't matter. This will be the sixth of these marquee reserve roasteries they have on Michigan Avenue. They have one like this in New York, Tokyo, Shanghai, Milan, in Starbucks' hometown of Seattle, and now they'll have this reserve roastery in Chicago on the Mag Mile. And these are showpieces for the brand, so maybe it doesn't matter what the receipts are. It's as much, you know, an ad for what Starbucks is. But the image shows it four stories high, glass all the way around. It looks like a Crate and Barrel. It looks like a fabulous, I don't know, mini mall.
I was almost thinking like a college library.
That's what it looks like. That's right. It's well lit. It's illuminated. A lot of open space in there. And then what do you do? It's got escalators, for crying out loud. I guess they're going to have cocktails, like alcoholic cocktails. It says here that they've hired local mixologist Annie Beebe from Tron of, mixologist Annie Beebe, Tron of Fat Rice, Julia Mamoz of Oriole and Kumiko, and Rachel Miller of Community Tavern. Customers will be able to enjoy locally mixed drinks late into the evening. And I don't think that's just for the opening night. I think it's going to be that way all the time.
That actually sounds awesome when you add the drinks to the mix.
I guess, but you're still, like, I wanna have cool drinks with cool people in a cool place, but you're still at a Starbucks.
That's true.
I don't understand, for instance, the people that walk around with glasses of wine at Mariano's.
I don't either. I've never done that before.
Lauren Lapka, have you walked around with a Chardonnay while shopping at Mariano's?
Only when shopping with other people.
But you do that.
I have. Well, because, yeah, it's like, it's a chore. Let's make it a little bit more fun.
Yeah. That must be the logic behind it.
I'm more like, get me in and out of this place.
That's my attitude. And Mariano's is a wonderful experience. I don't hate it because it's a terrific grocery store. It's got good stuff, right? When I have wine, I want to really be enjoying it, not to take the edge off of a drudger. Like, we might as well have wine while you're doing the laundry. You know,
Who says I don't?
when I'm washing my car. Actually, I've been known to have a beer when I'm washing my car, but that's because it's warm out there.
I mean, shower beer is a thing for a reason, too. So,
the four-story emporium will employ 200 people and include on-site roasting. That, I guess that, you know, justifies the size of the place. It's 43,000 square feet.
Do they have hours up there? Because I'd be curious to see how long.
Till 11 p.m. at night.
And what time do they open?
7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 8 to midnight Friday and Saturday, and 8 to 10 on Sundays.
I think that's going to be fun for people who are showing their tourist family members or friends around, just for a quick stop, especially in the winter when you want a hot drink.
Well, actually, that's just in general. It's great for tourists to kind of take a break there in between maybe shopping.
Yeah, it's a great location for that. I'll give you that.
Someone just texted in, the Crate and Barrel in Oakbrook also has a restaurant now. I didn't know that.
Nordstrom downtown. I don't know if Nordstrom's do it elsewhere, but the Nordstrom downtown has a really nice bar. And small plate dining area in the menswear section upstairs, which to me is a great idea because I don't think guys like spending time in a store as much as ladies do.
Mm-mm.
The guys can just go right up to their section, and you can have a cocktail. I've had a nice cocktail there. A beer. You can get a little pulled pork sandwich, stuff like that up there. But the food wasn't bad the time I did it, and it's not a bad. And you're sitting around cool clothes, and it's got its own little vibe.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
Again,
I was gonna. Can I jump in?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was gonna say, as long as you guys are trying to decide who's gonna talk, I'll talk. I'm actually going to dinner tonight at Restoration Hardware.
Oh yeah, what's
I'm
it
not
called?
Laughing. That's perfectly logical.
What's that?
I think it's Beaux Arts or something like that.
Is that the one with the like nice area up top?
Three Arts Cafe.
Three Arts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really? So why of in this restaurant? Town with a million places deed. Why are you going to Restoration Hardware?
Because it's beautiful and the food's supposed to be delicious.
Like, that's reason enough. Really? So it's a real deal, huh?
Yeah, it's a beautiful restaurant right in the middle of Restoration, and then it's also like a Mariano's concept. You can get a cappuccino or a glass of wine, walk around, look at the furniture.
Yeah, so I've been there. They have a really beautiful upstairs area that's like half outside, but you're not really outside. It's got trees, and it's really comfortable because they have like the couches and stuff. It's super nice there.
No kidding. So what's the location on that? Where is it exactly?
That would be at North Dearborn.
Right, yeah.
North Dearborn?
That is correct.
That's another, like, for tourists, that's another great stop, especially if you're traveling with men. I mean, I know from my dad, I know from my cousin, that they just follow you around the store, and it's like, go, I'll meet you in half an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Just go do
your
thing.
How many times do you watch? I mean, that's such the shopping experience, especially at a place like a Crate and Barrel, maybe a Restoration Hardware, too. The ladies seem to be enjoying it, and the guy is usually one step back, and he's there because he's married, or this is his girlfriend, and this is what we're doing now. But you can always tell by the body language who's driving the bus that day. And if the guy had a place to escape, that would be good. So I guess all of us have found reasons and places to combine the dining experience with the beverage experience, with the shopping experience, you know, for something that's other than the food and the drink. But the exception to that still, to me, remains Mariano's, right? Because it's a grocery. You know who I feel bad for at the Mariano's the most? The guy playing the bass.
Or the piano.
Yeah. There's a two-piece combo, sometimes a three-piece combo, one I go to sometimes. And I'm thinking, that guy took music lessons for years, not to stand behind a coffee bar at Mariano's.
What are you doing these days? Playing music for shoppers?
I'm in a jazz combo in Chicago. Oh, really? Where? Oh, on the north side. Yeah, really? Where? We'll check it out. No, it's fine. I'm fine. Maybe I don't know anything about that trade.
You might run into me one day, and we'll just see if it happens.
Yeah. Trust me, I'll be the one hiding behind the base. And maybe there's no shame in that, right?
A job's a job.
That's exactly it. You know what? If someone's paying you to play music, what's so bad about that? John, I'm listening on my iPad in Skull Valley, Arizona. John, we are listening in Mokina while cleaning a house on my Bluetooth, hearing OS AIDS. Sometimes your speak to text doesn't make perfect sense, but thank you for listening to us on your Bluetooth in Mokina. John, North and Michigan? ? And then they wrote the word pamplemousse, which is French for grapefruit. John, Starbucks Burridge used to have wine. I loved it because I didn't have to go to a bar and be worried about dudes hitting on me. It was safe and it was easy. John, I tried having a beer once at Mariano's while shopping, and I forgot half the stuff I was supposed to get.
Oh, no. I guess there's the downside.
John, does Elif have a music podcast? If so, what is the name?
Thanks for asking. It's a music column that I write on the website called Radio Elif.
On our website?
Yeah.
Did you write this?
No, I didn't.
Did you? Because you sure seem to be ready with the answer, Elif.
No, well, obviously, I read the text before I give them to you.
John, I heard Lou was going to open a restaurant in the back of his hardware store. Listen, if there's a buck to be made there, Lou will do it and it will go. So, Elif's podcast, is it a podcast or is it a blog?
Blog.
And column. Your blog.
I like to call it a column. because I'm 27 now and work at a big-time radio station. And
so what is the name of this column that you write about music?
Radio Elif.
Radio Elif. So if I type that in the search box on our website, it'll
no
take
space.
Me?
Radio Elif, no spaces.
So that's R-A-D-I-O-E-L-I-F. Elif. Is
not Ella, not Ellis, Elif.
Elif. It's Thank Turkish. You. It's her name. Elif, E-L-I-F. More texts. Hey, John, this has just been fun today. We don't do this always because, you know, listen, the Internet's been around a while, and our station's been heard coast to coast for years just because it's been such a powerful radio signal, or at least across the Plain States and all the way to the East Coast, especially at night in the winter. But I was just wondering where you are dialing us in online today, because that's the only way you can listen to us. The White Sox are on our radio side, so all of our listeners today are listening to us via the interwebs of some description. John, Mike, and I are listening from Palm Bay, Florida. Hi, John. This is Lynn. I'm listening online from St. Johnsbury, Vermont. We moved a month ago from Arlington Heights. I grew up in El Paso, Illinois. Listening in Mesa, Arizona. Nothing like WGN out here. So we are coast to coast here, aren't we? Thank you for that. John, I'm listening in Evanston. Fire department has already arrived in the State Farm commercial, so I figure the husband is standing back. Lightning hit the she shed. I love that commercial. That's wonderful news, said deadpan husband. Yeah, I guess they do talk about that. We had Cheryl from the She Shed commercial for State Farm on our show a little earlier. She was delightful, from the South Side, Morgan Park High grad. She went to, and she is from Inglewood. John, listening on the southeast side, but of Indianapolis. Listened to you and Dan DiOrio back in the 80s in Peoria. Door County, Waukesha, Wisconsin, Shelbyville, Kentucky. Hello. John, last week, 2 weeks ago, we were in Banff and Glacier National Parks. We listened to you on the WGN app on our phones. Thanks for bringing us along to all those wonderful places. Our news click at WGNradio.com asked you this year, the Bears will be. How did you guys answer this one? Win the Super Bowl, lose the Super Bowl, make the playoffs, miss the playoffs? Kevin, are you listening to us over there in sports? How will you answer the news click at WGNradio.com? Bears win the Super Bowl, lose the Super Bowl, make the playoffs, miss the playoffs.
I think they're going to win the Super Bowl, John.
17% said that. 70% said they will make the playoffs but won't get to the last game. 13% said they're not even going to be in the Super Bowl. How many games you got them winning, Kevin?
I have them at 12-4.
I think that's where Lapka is. Am I right about that, Lauren? You got him at 12-4?
Yeah, 12-4, and I'd say make playoffs. I'm not fully confident about Super Bowl just yet.
Watch this. Hey, Elif, how many games do you have the Bears winning this year?
I have them winning.
You are cheating.
10 or 11.
You are completely cheating.
Your listeners don't know that, John.
I got them winning 12. I got them winning 12. I got them winning 11. I'll let you know. Finally, just a quick note here for Teddy Saves America. Teddy Roosevelt's coming to the show. Speaking of Mount Rushmore, we did earlier. Theodore Roosevelt's on stage with me. If you haven't done one of these, I'm telling you, you just feel better about yourself because you learned a lot about America. You feel good about America because you see one of our great presidents come to life and you see how it can be done. That's not a shot against the current president. It's a shot against anybody who didn't measure up to his standards, and few do. Roosevelt was an amazing character, and he comes to life. I talk to him on stage. You get to ask questions, too. We're about a third of the way sold out. Tickets just went on sale this week. So I hope you can join us at Elgin Community College at the Blizzard Theater Saturday, October 12th. Saturday, October 12th, 10:30 in the morning. Money well spent. Go to WGNradio.com/Teddy. WGNradio.com/Teddy to get your tickets. It's sponsored by the Joint Relief Institute. So the answer to the question, is it okay for adult men to wear jerseys that aren't theirs, has been answered by Rokan.
Yeah, it's my lucky jersey. I generally subscribe.
52. Hi, 52.
Thank you. I generally subscribe to adult men not wearing jerseys.
I thought so.
Until Khalil Mack. And then everything changed.
You're just like, you are so in awe of him that...
Yeah. I mean, I would just, I'm taken, you know, that's just what it is. And so I, a buddy of mine and I have been going to the games forever. We never wore jerseys. We bought them after the opening game last season when Khalil Mack, had 16 sacks and 55 interceptions and ran it back for 240 points, whatever it was. I can't, it was something, I might be rounding up, but it was something like that. And we bought the jerseys, and they've won every game we've gone to where we wore the jerseys.
Well, then you have an obligation.
So this is a luck thing now. Mm-hmm. Not Andrew, you know, the other one. So this is a big deal.
We were talking on the Mincing Rascals podcast about the jersey you most don't want to wear that you have. Like, you know,
I have one.
What's the one that you're embarrassed? Is it a Cade McNown?
No. Fukudome.
That came up in the podcast.
Yes, the Japanese Fukudome.
If you have
one.
A Fukudome jersey.
Right, in Japanese, though, with the Japanese lettering.
Wow.
And I'm not sure it's actually says Fukudome. It might start with Fuka something, but it's, I don't think it ends with Domi.
Do you guys have a jersey or wishing you didn't have, you're not proud to wear, you're a little ashamed of?
No, I like all of mine.
No. Like, where would you be on a Sosa jersey? Where would you be on a Pryor?
No,
Pryor jersey.
The Mark Pryor jersey actually came with an X-ray, which was kind of fun, of his shoulder or his elbow. He had all of them.
We love that kid for a season.
For a moment, yeah. I feel like a...
Where's Sosa in that? Wear it or don't wear it?
No, I would not wear it. He cheated. I mean, his head grew 13 sizes. I mean, that's I don't think that doesn't work for me. But I like the. But it was kind of a funny deal because last year I've got the Khalil Mack jersey, and I wanted to get a jersey that said Rokon on the back as opposed to Roquan. And then I thought I really don't want it. Now I don't really want to do that because I'll be at the games. So I'm wearing the 52. Jersey. We got invited. A friend of mine invited us up to the suite level right after the game to a suite. And he goes, he wouldn't tell me what it was. He just said, texted me and said, "Hey, come up here. We'll have somebody meet you at the elevators and go up." We go up. It turned out it was Urlacher's suite.
Nice.
Well, that was the problem. I'm wearing 52, not 54.
Oh.
Everybody else in the stadium was wearing 54. I was an early adopter. I had just, the 52s were just coming out. They sold out that day, and I was wearing it. And literally, he looked at me, and I've known him forever. He looked at me and goes, "What are you wearing that for?"
Nice.
And I'm like, "Oh, no, Brian, no, don't hit me. Ow,
boom,
ow,
boom,
ow,
boom.
Ow." So that's how that went. But it worked out.
All right, I'm in overtime. You're on.
Okay, thank you very much. Ben Bradley's going to be here in just a few minutes. He's flown the MD-80 that retired. They retired all the MD-80s, the Super 80s, from American Airlines yesterday. And they flew them all out to a graveyard. And he was part of it.
Where was the one in Arizona?
It's actually in New Mexico, this one.
Oh, yeah.
They're all over the
Southwest. You've been to those? Those are amazing.
Oh, my God.
Holy cow. And one of the sad things somebody said when we were doing the tour, she goes, "Every one of these airplanes you see sitting here, you could just say, new school, new school, new school. But instead, you have military hardware, military hardware, military hardware." Now, you could say the hardware protects the schools, but it just showed the amount of resources we put into those things.
Yes.
There's a lot of ways to look at them. One is, wow, look at these planes.
That's the only way I look at it is, wow, look at these planes. Isn't this cool? You know what? Why don't you run that past Thomas Jefferson and see where he stands on the school versus the fighter jet? Although he doesn't really understand the fighter jet, does he?
It's a little predated him.
Yes.
Air flight.
You have to explain to him. You have to explain the airplane first. Well, no, then you have to explain the engine. I don't know. It'd take too long.
I think I'll pass.
All right. Thank you very much.